Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, of course, the
open. The Affordable Care Act takes effect next month. The latest poll shows Americans oppose it, believing it will produce damaging results. 52% believe the law will raise their health care costs. Is everybody wrong?
Yes, they are. The problem we have is that over the last 4 years, billions of dollars have been spent misinforming people about what this law is about. All the horror stories that we're talking about have not come true. It's going to be a good deal, and we expect that once it's fully implemented, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, people will look back and they'll be asking, what was the argument about? Why is everybody fighting this so much?
Can you believe you would wake up one day and you'd have a man in the White House who goes to Telemundo to speak to an audience that doesn't vote in America by and large, and to sell them a bill of goods that most Americans have rejected? Now, I don't want to bore you by talking about Obamacare. It's about as interesting to me as talking about the U.S. Constitution or a brown suit with a tuna fish stain on it or about Ronald Reagan's shoe size. I'm not going to do it. But I'm giving you an example of what is actually happening and how the country has been stolen from us. Even Maureen Dowd, as psycho-leftist as she is, wrote an editorial entitled Obama is Losing the Room. I'll read you a paragraph. Here's what she wrote. Obama gave a speech Monday talking at the White House while the drama unfolded at the supposedly secure Navy Yard nearby. He could have posted his original remarks on the White House website or comfort the shaken city. But jarringly, the president went ahead with his political attack, briefly addressing the slaughter before moving on to jab Republicans over the corporate tax rate and resistance to Obamacare. The man who connected so electrically and facilely in 2008, causing Americans to overlook his thin resume, cannot seem to connect anymore. With a shrinking circle of trust inside the White House, Obama is having trouble establishing trust outside with once reliable factions, grassroots Democrats and liberals in Congress. She means herself as well. She means the diehard, goose-stepping liberals who put him in power. But the point is Obama is losing the room is really the theme for the day. But it goes even larger than that. Even the far left has turned on Obama, Dianne Feinstein, and the other fraudulent liberals. Even the far left now see through their corruption and incompetence. Now, what evidence do I have for that statement? That's quite a statement, isn't it? Let me make the statement again. Even the far left has turned on Obama, Feinstein, and other liberals because they see through their corruption. It's taken them all these years to see what I've been telling you about, and here I am not a member of the far left. I'll give you an example. The biggest example that I have for you is this story that came up, if I can find it and get it in my hands, here it is. It appeared today on Snoop.com, I believe. I don't have the original site anymore because it wasn't sent to me. The title is The Husband of Senator Dianne Feinstein, Richard Blum, chairs a company that brokers sales of U.S. Postal Service's facilities. This has been a major topic on Pacifica Radio, which is as far left out of the mainstream as you can get in the Bay Area or America. They are going bonkers over the fact that Feinstein and her husband are capitalizing on the sale of post offices without any competitive bidding. The left is now on to Feinstein. The media is now on to Obama. The only people who are not saying anything are those who are ignoramuses in the middle. The ignoramuses. So let me read you the article. I think it's Snoops.com or Snopes.com. I don't know. It should have been put here for me. Maybe they can put it up on the message board. Let me read it to you. The husband of Senator Dianne Feinstein chairs a company that brokers sales of U.S. Postal Service's facilities. Again, this is from a far-left website. I will summarize. It was recently learned that the United States has entered into a contract with one firm to sell 56 buildings that currently house U.S. post offices. The government has decided that it no longer needs these buildings, many of which are located on prime land in towns and cities across the nation. The sale of these properties will bring in billions of dollars, and with that, millions of dollars in commissions for the one company that is in charge of handling the sale and negotiation of the new leases. What makes this such a matter of concern, they write, is that the company that the government has contracted with to conduct the sales and the corresponding leases for the new locations of the displaced post offices is owned by Richard Blum. Does that name mean anything to anyone? Maybe it should be rephrased and say that the person who owns the company that is solely in charge of this multi-million-dollar transaction is Richard Blum, the husband of Senator Dianne Feinstein. This again comes from a website, I think, called Snopes. I'm waiting for my producers to hear me and perhaps put it up on the message board. I will read on further. When I get the exact website, I'll give it to you. Origins. Facing a deficit of billions of dollars, the United States Postal Service has floated a number of proposals to reduce the deficit, including selling off hundreds of post offices in order to gain cash flow and reduce expenses. According to the Postal Service's 2012 report to Congress, more than 600 buildings nationwide have been earmarked for disposal. And the USPS, they're going to sell off a lot of buildings, right? In 2011, the C.B. Richard Ellis Group, now CBRE Group, Inc., the world's largest commercial real estate services firm, was awarded an exclusive contract to market postal facilities, which CBRE touted by announcing, quote, "Historically, USPS has worked with multiple real estate service providers. The new contract enables USPS to consolidate these activities with one service provider." Let me add an editorial. That's called monopoly. This award has been the subject of some controversy, as CBRE's chairman of the board is Richard C. Blum, the husband of Senator Dianne Feinstein, who represents the state of California in the U.S. Senate. No, she doesn't. She represents Richard Blum and Dianne Feinstein in the U.S. Senate. Let me correct that. Although it is true that Blum is both CBRE's chairman and the spouse of a U.S. senator, it is not accurate to say that he is, quote, solely in charge of CBRE, nor that he owns the company. CBRE is headed by President and CEO Robert E. Sulentic, and CBRE is a public company whose shares are owned by many different individuals and institutional stockholders. It is true, however, that Blum Capital, a private equity firm founded by Richard Blum, is one of CBRE's largest institutional stockholders. Writing in the San Francisco Chronicle, columnist Andrew S. Ross quoted a representative of Senator Dianne Feinstein as asserting that she is not involved in her husband's business dealings and the contract between the USPS and CBRE was not initiated or influenced by Congress. As for accusations of a conflict of interest and suspicions that Feinstein may have influenced the awarding of the contract to her husband's firm, Dianne Feinstein's office strongly denies the charges. Here's what our Feinstein's office said. It's from Snopes.com, S-N-O-P-E-S.com. Here's what Feinstein's office said. Senator Feinstein is not involved with and does not discuss any of her husband's business decisions with him. Her husband's holdings are his separate personal property. Senator Feinstein's assets are held in a blind trust. That arrangement has been in place since before she came to the Senate in 1992, said Brian Weiss, Feinstein's spokesmouth. In 2012, Feinstein voted for an amendment to a postal reform bill that would have temporarily halted post office closings. The amendment was defeated in the House. Well, you get the picture. You get this or not? This was posted May 22nd, 2013. And it was posted and written by Barbara, copyrighted by Barbara and David P. Mickelson. It appears on Snopes.com. How do you feel about the husband of a U.S. senator being the sole and exclusive monopolistic broker of the sale of U.S. Postal Service facilities? I know you didn't hear this on Rush because he's selling a book. I know you didn't hear it on his clones because they're selling books. But you heard it tonight on The Savage Nation, The Last Word in Talk Radio. This is not the only topic that we will talk about, but it's one that you can call about by dialing 855-400-7282. I suspect you will not call on it because you didn't hear about it on Rush nor on one of his clone shows, nor did you read about it on any other website. However, I know that you do want to talk about other topics, including the racism of the shooter at the U.S. Naval facility, the fact that he was committing basically a hate crime. Now, the reason I say that is because if you look at the victims, it's strange that almost all of them were either white with one Asian, But truthfully, my friends, none of them looked like the shooter himself, while many people working in that facility looked like the shooter himself. Would you say he committed a hate crime? Well, of course you would, but you can't, because you have no one to turn to. Who are you going to turn to with that information? John Boehner, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer? Who? Eric Cantor is going to listen to you? No one will listen to you. The shooter himself, by the way, could have been stopped because a SWAT team was told to stand down at the mass shooting scene. That's a huge scandal. I put it up from the BBC News on michaelsavage.com. One of the first teams of heavily armed police to respond to Monday's shooting in Washington was ordered to stand down by superiors, the BBC revealed today. A tactical response team of the Capitol Police was told to leave the scene by a supervisor instead of aiding municipal officers. The Capitol Police Department has launched a review into the matter. Now, it looks to me like there may be a conspiracy here. It looks to me like this may have been planned. It looks to me like the shooter was in cahoots with someone inside the Capitol Police who gave the command to the heavily armed response team to stand down. It also looks to me like there's more to the story than meets the eye, and I'll tell you why. If you go to the article that I found earlier, this gets into the conspiracy side, which makes it easy to dismiss, but it's very weird. The shooter carved something into the stock of his rifle, which has been taken down from my website by someone, and I don't know who. It was up earlier. It's gone. It's a very important story. I want that story back up as soon as possible. The fact is that, yes, it's a very important story because he said something about his head being jammed by low-grade microwave signals, and he carved that into the stock of his rifle. I need Art, who is listening to the show, to get that article up so everyone listening to this show can go to michaelsavage.com. The minute I return, we're going to talk about Obama being abandoned by the radical left, who was finally on to the fact that he is a Machiavellian liar, a fraud artist. No one believes in him. The fact that Feinstein's husband is involved in selling U.S. postal facilities in a no-bid contract, even though he's not the sole, you know, owner or manager of the company. Where there's a little smoke, there's a little fire. Let's put it to you that way. And then, of course, there are other stories which we will get to. The phone number is 855-407-2822. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Even the far left has turned on Obama, Dianne Feinstein. They see right through them. They know that Obama has not only no resume, they know he's a Machiavellian fraud. First of all, he never delivered to them on their promises. That's to start with. They don't care about his wreckage on America. But they've seen through him. They know he's a liar. Feinstein has long been seen for what she is, the dragon lady from the shopping carts, the China deals. But now even the left is going bonkers over what she's done with her husband, Richard Blum, with contracts to sell the post offices. You say, well, all right, he doesn't own it, he doesn't do this. All right, we understand he doesn't own the company. But this was a no-bid contract given to a company in which he's deeply involved. Let's put it that way. Then the Navy shooter complained of white racism. Was it random? Did he just miss people of color? Or, in fact, did he only aim at white people? Was there a racial element? Was there a connection to the fact that the SWAT team was told to stand down and more people died as a result? Was there someone on the inside of the Capitol Police as well? We don't know. We know with the incompetent morons running the show, you'll never get to the bottom of it. Obama's already swept it under the rug. Why? Because the shooter doesn't look like Timothy McVeigh. That's why you're not going to hear any more about this. Well, we're coming back from the lanes, and we got this under control. Don't worry about us, you know. That's all you got to know is our move along. Move it along here. It's over now. All right, get back to what you're doing, you dumb idiots, yeah? Put your shorts on and go barbecue. Take yourself out to a ball game. Take your kid to a Kool-Aid festival. All right, keep it on. Move it along here. We got bigger things to do. We got bigger fish to fry. That's the country you're living in. KSFO San Francisco on another topic. Lou, you're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, yeah, Michael, hi. Listen, I don't know if the people remember this, but during the Iraq War, Rich and Brun Company was awarded with a huge, big contract, military contract, like a $3 billion without bidding.
$3 billion no-bid contract during the first Iraq War went to Blum's Company. And according to articles I've read, some of the equipment that was sent to the troops was defective.
and Dianne Feinstein was the head of the Intelligence Committee.
That's right. Now she's that of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Isn't that wonderful? You wonder why the military can't defend America anymore?
Yeah, I understand. I used to live in San Francisco. I know exactly Dianne Feinstein's story. Dianne Feinstein's story is dark, dark, dark.
It's frightening to think that there is no oversight over such nepotism. Something like this would have occurred in the ex-Soviet Union, where commissars did as they wished. And commissars sold off all of the resources of the Soviet Union to the greediest, worst people on the planet. They sold off the Soviet minerals. They sold off the Soviet mines. They sold off the Soviet oil. And they got away with it because there was no oversight. We are not far from the ex-Soviet Union in the fact that we live in an absolute monarchy.
Exactly. Exactly. I come from Argentina, and this look like Argentina more and more.
Ah, you know, this is interesting. You mean where the junta occurred, where the evil generals took over the country? Well, how far are we away from that today in America, in your opinion? Not too far, I don't think.
Not too far. Not too far. We are getting there. We are getting there with
the... Well, when will the people start being taken off the street with the black cars, with hoods over their heads, and disappeared into a pit somewhere in an open pit mine? As they did in Argentina. When will the disappeared start appearing in America?
Exactly, exactly. The people, they don't understand. They got everything for granted here. The Americans, they don't understand.
Okay, my friend. Thank God we have people from Russia, Argentina, Eastern Europe, who sit smoking their cigars, drinking their wine, and shaking their heads saying, how can I see the country I left behind that I ran away from emerging in front of my eyes here in the United States of America, once the land of the free and the home of the brave? Don't they understand what's going on under their noses? The answer is, of course not. No, no man ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people. That was not said by Ronald Reagan. It was not said by P.T. Barnum. It was said by H.L. Mencken, a humorist of the 1920s, I believe. No one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people. Want a book on the Constitution, perhaps?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah, there are some who say, well, you know, this gives the initiative to Putin. And who cares how it came up?
See, now listen. This is Bill Clinton saying about Putin leading in Syria. Who cares how it came up? You've heard about leading from behind. How about leading with your behind? Doesn't this show you that we have a Democrat mentality without any character? They don't care. They're outcome-based politicians. There's no dignity. No dignity. It doesn't matter how it came up, in other words, to him. So now Putin is the putative Secretary of State of the United States of America. Bill Clinton says it doesn't matter how it happened. All of a sudden, they are in front of the No War campaign, even though Nancy Pelosi was foaming at the mouth to drop bombs. Engel dropped bombs. Every psychopathic anti-gun liberal in America wanted to drop bombs. Shame on them! Unto the fifth generation! Shame on those lying SOBs! Those bums! Those louts! Those psychos! Bomb, bomb, bomb. Every stupid liberal who hates guns and bullets and police and soldiers was suddenly dancing around like lunatics. Drop bombs on Syria. Kill them all because the boss wants it. Now all of a sudden Bill Clinton comes out, the elder statesman of the Untruth Society, and comes out and says, who cares? Who cares how Putin did it? Who cares? How can you live in a country that stinks like this? It's like working in a sanitation pile. I feel like the nation is a nation of, like a sanitation pile in a dump with people in nice suits and ties. And believe me, I'm not alone in this. The Congress, the media is so detested in this country, but they don't know what to do. And the reason you feel frustrated, the reason may you don't even stop, here's the reason you stopped listening to talk radio, many of you, maybe you're scanning. I know why you stopped listening, because you listen to the dunces on the left. You don't want to hear it anymore. You know what it led to. It led to Feinstein and the post offices. It led to Obama, the anti-war candidate, wanting to drop bombs without thinking. And you said, who the hell, I don't want to do it anymore. That's if you're a liberal. I'm tuning out, okay? Those on the right have listened to the fraudulent Republicans now. They know there's no Republican Party. They were misled by Wallbanger and his minions, who went to the White House with Bush the genius, and now suddenly he's boasting about going to the White House with Bush. That's Wallbanger's claim to fame. I was invited to the White House, a little boy from Franklin Square, or wherever he came from, Rockville Center. Well, my friend, it takes an education to understand what you just said about yourself. Wallbanger doesn't even understand he put himself down. He doesn't even get it. The man's been a water carrier for the Republican Party from the day he began on radio as a fill-in. He steps on his words. Every other word is He ordered to advertise Tums. They could just bleed in a T on top of it. Tum. He'd have a big sponsor. Every other word is and gulp. And gulp. If he started the radio today, he couldn't work on a local station. That's Wallbanger. Then you got the Wallbanger minions because he promotes their books and products. They call him a great one. Oh, you're a great one. No, you're a great one. No, you're a great one. Hey, great one. Are you a great one? No, I'm a great one. You're a great one. It's like an Art Carney show. Wearing a beaver cap somewhere in a bad club. Hello, great one. Why don't you start the Great One Club? Give out beaver caps with long tails. Raccoon skin caps with long tails. Hello, great one. I mean, it's insane. So people stop listening to radio. Then I come along late in the day, stuck in Siberia here in the Siberia time slot. Hopefully not for long. And all of a sudden, you think, what the heck? Who's this guy? He doesn't sound like he's one of them, doesn't sound like he's one of us. Who is he? Yeah, I'm not the Lone Ranger. I'm just a talk show host. And if you think I'm alone, you're mistaken. There are tens of millions of Americans who see things as I do, who say things that I do, and they don't know what the hell to do to get their country back. You say, well, how did this happen? Well, okay, why go into the whole story? The number one problem is when we lost the media, we lost the country. The job of the media is not to be the lapdog of the administration or of the political class. The job of the media is to be the watchdog for the people. And once the watchdogs were, let us say, taken off the job, and they have been, either they died off or they were sold out, and they left the print media, they left the broadcast media by and large, the politicians fell into the state that they're in today, which is a sense of drunken power, absolute power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You understand that. We are witnessing absolute power at work where there's no checks and balances. So in my day, there was corruption. There's always been corruption. Going back to George Washington, I know many of you think he was a saint. He wasn't. He was a fine man, and he was also a politician, Machiavellian, into his landed class, kept slaves, etc. He wasn't a perfect man. And there was corruption, but they were kept in line by the colonial press to a certain extent. And the press existed in this country almost until, I don't know the year, I can't pick the year out of the air, it doesn't matter to me when. By and large, when the few men who run the journalism schools, and I can name them, there's two of them, two or three of them run the journalism factories, who weeded out anyone with an independent mind, just as they did in the universities, weeded out certainly anyone who didn't buy the party line. In other words, anyone who was not useful to the Communist Party USA, no matter what name it's called, CPUSA, call it progressives, call it liberals, doesn't matter. Whoever was not a member of the Politburo party line, didn't support the Politburo party line, never got into a journalism school. And that was the end of America as we know it. So now we have a fragmentary underground press called the Internet. We have a Samizdat on the radio. Those of you from the Soviet Union know what I'm talking about. This broadcast is very much like the underground radio broadcasts of the Soviet Union during the Solzhenitsyn years, when people were desperate to get the message out of what their corrupt government was doing. And that's where we are today. Where we will be tomorrow is anybody's guess. So now we have the most corrupt president, the most divisive president, the most incompetent president in American history, getting away with virtual murder. A man who came into power saying he was an anti-war president. It was pure doublespeak. Well, I was elected to, I can't imitate him, I won't even try. I was elected as an anti-war president, but I want a bomb in order to end the war that didn't start yet. And they listened to him. I was elected as an anti-war president, but I'm going to bomb Syria in order to make sure we don't have to bomb Syria? And no one said anything to this man? Then he was going to have a Latino festival Monday night, which he had to cancel because a Navy shooting occurred. Navy. Some Navy. There was no Navy there. It was a contractor's hive of contractors. God rest their souls. Stop with the Navy. They were disarmed by Bill Clinton. Everyone in the military was disarmed on bases by the very same Bill Clinton. Okay? So this is what's going on in your country today. We can't even defend ourselves internally. The same president who is breaking U.S. federal law, the Arms Export Control Act, to send machine guns and other weapons to murderers and Islamists in Syria, wants to take your bullets and guns away. And by the way, I may have broken the code on why Big Sis was suddenly moved out of her position in Homeland Security to wreck the University of California at Homeland. Remember she bought 1 billion bullets? Remember that big scandal? She kept buying hundreds of millions of bullets. Remember that? Nobody knew where the bullets were going. Then IRS bought the bullets. Then every department under Obama was buying up every bullet in America, drying up the supply of lead and of brass and of gunpowder. And we didn't know why. We said, well, they're trying to dry up. I said, wait a minute. Maybe those bullets are going to Syria, to the Islamists. Maybe they were plotting this all along. And they needed bullets. I don't know where the bullets went. I don't know. It's just crazy. I shouldn't even be asking the question. This is a job for Ted Cruz. This is a job for God knows who in the Republican Party. Rand Paul. The few voices that are left. The few voices. The few and far between. They should be screaming day and night, but how much can they do? I understand that. I don't care. You know, I really don't care what they can do, what they can't do. We have to keep talking about it. So now we're talking about corruption on a grand scale. We're talking about corruption where a U.S. Postal Services is giving up dozens of buildings, the exact number I don't have in front of me, 41 buildings across the country, in addition to 11 land parcels, and the only person allowed to sell it, excuse me, the only company allowed to sell it is a company indirectly tied to Richard Blum, the husband of Dianne Feinstein. Say indirectly tied, okay? Would that be safe to say? Is that legal to say? Let his lawyer figure it out. Indirectly tied to the husband? So the far left is now going berserk, even on Pacifica Radio here in the Bay Area, which is so anti-American it's frightening, but even they've had enough. Then the article comes out on Snopes.com, another left-wing site. Now we go to the Navy Yard shooter. Very convenient, huh? Obama screws up the Syria thing, the greatest international foreign policy mishmash since Jimmy Carter had the helicopters crash in the desert while trying to rescue the Iran hostages. This is a great scandal, what he almost did in Syria. He almost set the world on fire. What happens soon thereafter is a guy goes berserk and shoots up the contractors in the Navy Yard. But what you don't know came out today. Navy Yard gunman Aaron Alexis carved the words "better off this way" into the gun he used in a shooting rampage. ABC News has learned, but here's the killer. He also carved the phrase "my ELF weapon" onto the stock of the shotgun. Now, many of you don't know what the word "elf weapon" means. Many of you think he means elf. You think it's a cute phrase. But if you really know what he's saying here, it's frightening. Do you know what an elf weapon means? Does anybody understand what ELF means? I'm sure many of you do. This is a very far left, far right thing. What is ELF? Well, ELF means extremely low frequency in some clandestine military and clandestine tech circles. Extremely low frequency. There are some speculating that the term itself refers to Alexis's rants about hearing voices and, quote, vibrations sent to his body by a microwave machine, according to law enforcement sources. So now the conspiracists are going berserk, and they're saying he was basically set up, such as Frank on KCMO. Frank, you understand where this is coming from, correct?
I understand completely. It's an old science that's finally seen the light of day. First point, honestly, the Florida police and the Navy are to blame for this. They contacted the naval base. They warned them, but he was under investigation to get his clearance. They ignored it. The Navy let him slide. Why? Maybe they're afraid of a racial lawsuit?
There you go. Affirmative action uber alles, yes. That's number one.
Now he's free to walk around, get the security clearance that you and I probably couldn't get because we read the wrong newspapers.
Oh, no. I couldn't get a security clearance that Alexis got. No, sir.
Possibly. Now, I'm not even saying that maybe it was our government. Possibly. This science has been around for a while now. Maybe it was some other
But explain to my audience, Frank, what ELF means, if you know more about it than what I said about extremely low frequency microwaves being sent into people's heads. What does that mean?
I know about radio. And if you remember a couple of years back, the Navy was in trouble because they were using low frequency for their submarines, and it was disturbing all the fish and everybody's...
That's right. It disturbed the dolphins. So maybe they're using the same technology to disturb all of the marginal characters in America, and maybe they can control them to the point that they can literally drive them mad or set them over the edge or literally send messages into their head to do these things. Who knows?
And also, Dr. Savage, you know that people who already have a propensity to violence, if you plug them in the right way and give them the right programming, put them in the situation, the button will go off.
You mean such as a president investing himself into a crime in Florida, saying that if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin, setting off a low-grade war of a sort in America? You mean that kind of trigger, that kind of subtle message, that kind of a little messaging from the man in the bully pulpit?
That and just an individual who can be easily manipulated to do something ignorant and evil like what happened.
All right, well, here we go. Elf. He carved in the stock of a shotgun, my elf weapon onto the stock of the shotgun, sources said. ELF weapon. If you are a member of the conspiracy class, you got something to play with here. You got something really to play with, a very big deal right here. Because he complained about microwave machines sending vibrations into his body. Now, whether he was crazy on his own to begin with, or let us say marginal, and they found the marginal member of the Navy to, let us say, turn into a sort of Manchurian candidate, is the stuff for fiction. Remember the great book, The Manchurian Candidate? I never forget reading it after seeing the movie with Frank Sinatra. It was written by, he also wrote Mile High. He was once one of my favorite authors. I can't remember right now. You'll have to look it up for me. Doug, Neil, Harold, Bill, Bob. I don't remember the author's name. I can't remember it. But in the book, Manchurian Candidate, it was about a brainwashed character played by Frank Sinatra who is triggered to be an assassin by his mother, no less. And the thing that triggers it is the Queen of Hearts, when Mom flips the card. Richard Condon, one of the finest novelists in my time, and as a man who's writing thriller novels right now, such as A Time for War, which is out in paperback and is really a great read, and has a little bit about, well, a lot about naval intelligence in the book, by the way. Dover is in there. She's a character from Naval Intelligence who was almost fired for aiding a journalist who is not allowed to go to Britain and was thrown out of the media. You know, sort of not autobiographical in any means. I mean, just because it's set aboard a 59-foot Grand Banks and there's a dog in it named Eddie doesn't mean there's any autobiographical elements in A Time for War or Abuse of Power. Not at all. And just because Jack Hatfield eats in restaurants in North Beach and loves calamari does not mean it's based upon, in any way, anyone living or dead. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Just wait to see what's coming. People say, oh, well, you know, Obama's the most divisive, incompetent trickster in the history of the presidency, and he'll soon be out of there. No, he won't soon be out of there. Check your calendars, boys and girls. It's September 2013. Now, add up the number of years and days that Obama has left in office. You will see that it's not 2 years. Many people are saying, oh, 2 years. Do you remember what I warned you, Nixon? Remember what I warned you Bush would do in his last 4 months? Many of you are devout listeners of my program. Somewhere around this time in Bush's last year, when everyone figured that the dunce was gone, and they figured he's gone, whatever happens is better than him, I remember. And it was after he had increased the budget for the federal government to an extent that was larger than the previous three administrations put together. That's what the old socialist Bush had done. I said to you, he's not through yet. Somewhere around September of the year, 2008, I think. I don't remember the year. It's a blur to me now. I said, he's not finished yet. He still has 3 more months. And what happened after I said that? The economy crashed, is it not right? It was crashed by the people who run the world in order to bring in an unknown man with no resume who was going to be the savior of the economy, get us out of the wars. He seemed like a nice guy, nice family. Even though he was a liberal, he seemed okay. Right? No one knew who he was. He was like, in his own way, he's like a Manchurian candidate. They found out of nowhere. Where did he come from? He was absent in the Senate as much as he was there. No one knows how he became a senator. And it was all put together with the Republican Party. The Republican Party put Obama in power. Make no mistake about it. You say, wait a minute, they ran Romney. It was McCain. McCain, as you well know, was criticized by only one man in the media repeatedly. That was me. Wallbanger supported him. Rush supported him. You go back and get the tapes. When Obama was running against McCain, I was the only one who was hammering McCain. I saw right through him. McCain has always been a brainwashed fool. Ever since he was tortured in Vietnam, this guy has been a sort of Stockholm Syndrome freakola, like a freak show. Well, now he's come full circle. He's come out of the closet as the lunatic leftist he really is, McCain. But I was on to him. I was the only one on to him. Then, now let's go to the next election. No, let me not go ahead. So what did I tell you? Watch out. Watch out. Bush still has 3 months. They crashed the economy, and it ushered in Obama. Then what happened? Well, 4 years, then they ran who? They ran Romney. Romney could have won. Remember Romney won the first debate? Then they pulled him in the back room. They pulled out the pictures, the videos, the photographs. They pulled out the icons. They pulled out the digital chips. They pulled out the microwave frequency device. And suddenly, before you know it, the spaceship from which he came sent him a signal and beamed it down to his head and said, baby, you better lose the next two rounds or else.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It was dark, and the area around the door was illuminated by just a single dull bulb in a bug-filled lantern above the threshold. Dover didn't notice the black Mercedes until she heard it pull behind her car in the motel parking lot. She was just putting her key in the door of the one-story building when the vehicle stopped perpendicular to her car. The passenger side of her trunk. Her first thought was that she should go inside, shut the door, and call 911. She turned the key, popped the lock, but stayed outside, waiting to see what this was about. Both doors of the Mercedes opened, and two men emerged. They were stocky, dressed in black suits, their hair cut short, Marine style. Their expressions were unsympathetic, their eyes steady. The driver remained where he was. The other man came over. Dover's heart rate quickly doubled. Ms. Griffith, the man asked as he approached. He wouldn't have asked if he didn't already know the answer. She said nothing. I'd like to talk to you about your interest in Hawk Industries, he said. I'm kind of tired, she said, backing into the room. Can this wait? I'll only need a minute, the man said. Maybe tomorrow, Dover told him. She stepped inside quickly and shut the door, from which you forgot to remove the key. The young woman heard the key turn. The curtains were drawn and it was dark outside. She switched on an unsteady floor lamp. There was no rear exit and there were no windows in the back. She hurried to where she had left her phone plugged in on the night table. She activated it as the man entered. Please put it down, he told her. I'm calling the police. The sheriff's office is about a half hour from here, he informed her. You might get a deputy who was already on the road and could be here in 10 or 15 minutes. Or he may be off in another direction entirely. I don't care. Miss Griffith, it doesn't have to be this way. The intruder's hand slipped inside his blazer and remained there, behind the lapel. Please be reasonable. I only need a few minutes. Dover hesitated. The man had left the door open. His associate had moved from the driver's side and was standing just a few paces behind his partner. What do you want to know? She asked. Her mouth was dry. The words sounded like rice paper. Put the phone down and we can talk, he said. She continued to hold it. He remained where he was, his hand inside his jacket. She didn't think he would shoot her, but her odds seemed a little better off if she cooperated. She stood there dumbfounded. We would like you to leave Murrieta tonight and end your investigation into Hawk Industries. Dover had clearly crossed more than the Rockies on her way out. She had gone back in time about 150 years. You have no right to make those demands, she said. I haven't done anything wrong. You misrepresented yourself as an investigator with the ONI, the man said. No, that is the truth. That's the Office of Naval Intelligence. I'm reading from A Time for War. Well, you get the picture. This is my novel, A Time for War, which has a lot to do with a character named Dover. Dover. I introduced a Dover Griffith, a young woman staffer at the Office of Naval Intelligence. How do you like that? The Office of Naval Intelligence in A Time for War. From the New York Times best-selling author of Abuse of Power and host of the radio show The Savage Nation comes a powerful new thriller. But because I am not a member of the Rush cartel, you haven't heard about the book. But it's out there. It's called A Time for War. Now let's go back to normal programming and talk about sonic weapons. Sonic weapons, naval intelligence. What an oxymoron that is, the Office of Naval Intelligence. How come they didn't have the intelligence on the shooter the other day? I guess they were busy waiting for you guys with guns to do something wrong. Is that it? Is that what the new government is? The government now fears the civilian population more than they do the Islamists? Well, of course they do. In fact, the Islamists are being armed by the intelligence agencies. They're arming the Islamists. And where did those billion bullets that Big Sis bought go? Where are they? Well, you don't know where it went any more than you know why they're pumping money into the economy on a day like today. Why would that clown, what's his name, Bernanke, the man who saved the world, why would Bernanke, that useful stooge clown, be allowed to continue to print money? Do you know that Holland, today in Holland, is very interesting, the king of Holland came out and said, the welfare state is over. We can no longer support you. You're going to have to participate in our society because of the leeches. The number of leeches in Holland had reached such a point that the king had to step in and take over the control of the country from the stooges in the liberal parliament. And he said, we are no longer a welfare state. And we're not printing money. We're not giving you benefits the way they were. You're going to have to make it on your own a little bit. And yet in America, on the very same day that Holland finally saw the light and realized that there was an unsustainable economy, the stooge called Ben Bernanke, one of the most evil men in the history of America, and he's very evil. You got to understand, I don't care whether he's a nice guy to his wife and dog. Evil is as evil does. When you have a bankrupt economy and you fool the people by saying we're going to do quantitative easing, which is nothing but printing money, that's evil to me. So the stooge is going to print money. He doesn't print the money, but the stooge says his fiscal policy is to keep printing money, meaning buying bonds. So what's the reaction on Wall Street? They go haywire. Why? Because the greed on Wall Street, as you know, knows no bounds. Human nature is by nature greedy. Larceny is in the heart of the average man. And the way a civil society works is larceny and greed is controlled by a reasonable government. But instead of controlling the larceny and the greed on Wall Street, Obama feeds it. Why? Because they put him in power. They are the government. Obama's not the president. He is the symbol or the front man. He's the figurehead. Let's put it that way. That's a more polite way to put it. Just as the Queen is the figurehead of England, Obama's the figurehead of America. Is he the first president who was a figurehead? No. But today a president is a figurehead. But this figure has no head. The bisque figure fell and broke. It's like old King Cole. No, it wasn't old King Cole. What was the one where the egg fell off? Humpty Dumpty. The fairy tale that applies to this presidency is Humpty Dumpty. And I don't remember it because I haven't been a child for a long while and I'm not yet ready for the last phase that Shakespeare described. But Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's men, Teddy, could not put Humpty together again. You get it? So Humpty Dumpty, called Obama, has had his great fall. Syria was his great fall off the wall, and they can't put Humpty together again. So those on Wall Street who put Humpty on the wall have told the next dunce on the wall, the next egghead, to print money because that's going to make their commissions bigger. Instead of bringing back the laws that were in place until Bill Clinton destroyed them, decimated them, eliminated them, I wrote all about it in my previous book, instead, Humpty Dumpty is put there to make sure they keep printing money so the thieves on Wall Street can continue to make profits beyond your wildest imagination, trading fiduciary instruments that don't even exist. It's like taking it. Let's take a piece of tissue paper. I just had a chicken snack. Can someone let Teddy out of the studio before he has an accident in my radio studio? Is there anyone here anymore? I think I'm alone in the station. Well, where have all my guards gone? I feel like the scene in The Godfather where he's alone in the hospital. No one's here now? Everyone's gone from the radio. Hello, anyone here? No, he's not here. Could you email the guy who's supposed to be here and tell him to get back here with the Uzi and open the door for the dog? I just shared a chicken with Teddy, the remnants of a chicken from the radio refrigerator. I'm starving. It happens to me every night. My schedule is so off, I can't remember when to eat. I eat too early. So I ate a piece of leftover chicken. I hope I don't have ptomaine poisoning. And I just wipe my mouth with the greasy chicken droppings, and I've thrown it in a pail. So let's say I pull this greasy napkin out of a pail, and I'm on Wall Street. And I say, hey, Joe, look what I found. He says, what is that? Well, what do you think it is? I just wiped my mouth with it from greasy chicken. He says, no, you're not looking at it right, Mike. That is an amazing piece of barter. That's a bartering tool you have. Why don't we take that, iron it out, print something on it, and start calling it a chicken wipe bond? All right, it's not a bad idea. Okay, so what do we do with the chicken wipe bond? I don't know. Let's figure it out. Oh, I get it. We can take the chicken wipe bond, and we could offer it to the traders on the floor who are dying for a new instrument because they haven't made enough money yet today. And they'll start trading it. Let's see what the chicken wipe bond is worth by the end of the day. So it's a piece of worthless, you know. By the end of the day, the chicken worth bond is run up. It's worth 39 cents. Then the word spreads that night in all the bars around Wall Street. Did you hear what Joe and Mike came up with? Have you heard what that chicken worth bond went from? 0 to 39 cents in a day. We better get in on the chicken wipe bond. Well, how do we get in on it? I don't know. I hear that Joe and Mike are the only ones with access to the chicken wipe bond. The next day, the chicken wipe bond opens at 42 cents, and it goes to 71 cents on the New York Chicken Wipe Bond Exchange. The third day, the chicken wipe bond is worth $3.50. By the 10th day, the chicken wipe bond is worth about as much as Facebook. And the guy buys himself another house in the Dolores Park area of San Francisco based upon a fiduciary instrument that has about as much value as Facebook. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So again, if you're interested in a chicken wipe bond, you can go to www.chickenwipebond.com. Inside the chicken wipe, you'll find a quote from the U.S. Constitution and a saying from Ronald Reagan inside the chicken wipe bond. There's also a free Ronald Reagan chicken wipe coin and a pair of Manolo shoes for your wife or girlfriend included in the purchase of $10,000 or more in chicken wipe bonds. And that's why they're sailing, you know, out of this inventory here. We just can't keep these chicken wipes much longer here at the Savage Nation. Okay, just kidding. You get the picture. That's what they're trading on Wall Street now. That's what we mean by fiduciary instruments without any bearing in reality. You understand what I'm saying to you? This was eliminated for a long time on Wall Street, and it came back when Bill Clinton, through his wonderful Treasury Secretary, whose name I conveniently don't remember, he had a fly fishing public relations aspect to him. Richards, I don't remember. Goldman Sachs president, right. Another one. Came in and he wiped out all of these controls over Wall Street, which had been in place since the Great Depression, to prevent exactly what happened in 2008. In the same country, they'd be in prison. They'd be in prison for what they did to this country. But in America, they go to the next level of thievery. That's how it works. That's all. So here we are. Should I read to you the love scene between Jack and Dover? Because, you know, if it's a novel about war and about peace and about espionage, it's actually very well done. I think that they're on the boat together on the Grand Banks, and she comes up. His face must have registered the discomfort he felt because Dover flushed slightly. Sorry, she said, that was stupid of me. No, it wasn't, he insisted. It was just not a question I expected. Please forget I asked it, she said. She washed the statement down with the rest of her beer, then went to get another. I'm not going to do that, Jack said. He sat back, sipped a second beer. Look, my relationship with my first wife, Rachel, is complicated. Please, you don't have to tell me. I want to, he said. Doc, Abe, all our friends, they're tired of hearing me be confused. You're a fresh canvas, Dover, and you're smart and curious, and you analyze data. You may see something the rest of us have missed. She relaxed slightly. Jack goes on. We were married for 10 years. It ended 2.5 years ago. It probably ended long before, but that's when we pulled the plug. She was a model, 5'9", green eyes, black hair, a real night owl. We met while I was doing a segment for the World of the Runway Model. She segued from that to flipping houses. One of those planners had a real estate license, just in case. Her modeling career ended. She is good at being prepared. Taste change, anorexia as in, hips are out. You never know. Also, she would get bored with things real quick. She bagged college after 6 months, took up modeling, sold houses, studied nutrition, so she had something else to do when the housing market collapsed. Always a step ahead. She's got a terrific practice now, training vegans in Tiburon. That's across the bay in Marin County. Alone, he grew wistful. She's living with a big shot tax attorney. I resent him. I'm reading from A Time for War. Because, I wish I knew, Jack admitted. He treats her well. He makes her laugh. He's been cordial to me the 2 times we've met. Even if it's this, I'm a Harvard grad, noblesse oblige, like he's just a little bit better than me. Anyway, what about you? I dated in college a lot, she said. They were trust fund kids, bad boys, scholars. I date in Suitland. Career military, career diplomats, career bureaucrats. I always got along best with the guys who can put their work aside and concentrate on me. Do you ever use number one on speed dial? Never have, Jack said, but it's the only human connection I've got left with her. He stood suddenly. Let's take our beers outside on deck. I want to see if I can learn this relaxing thing. He wasn't sure if this was a move or if his guard was just way down. Whichever it was, Dover rose and smiled and seemed happy to follow his lead. Maybe she was just tired, too. They went out onto the flybridge, followed by Eddie. It was chilly, and Jack offered her a blanket. She said she was used to the cold, actually enjoyed it. He showed her to the helm seats, but she remained standing, so did Jack. I'm not sure it's working, he said. All I am is tired, but my brain's still working. Look up, she said. Jack turned astern to view the stars. They were unusually bright and realized why. It was past 4 a.m. He wasn't usually out at this hour. The lights of the city did not throw as much light in the sky as he was accustomed to. Does that relax you? Dover asked. Frankly, it bores me, he said. That's not what we're going for. I don't get philosophical about the stars, eternity, the cosmos. I tend not to think about the things I can't impact. So what do you think about? Well, when I'm not thinking about work? Yeah, she smiled. That's the drill. He looked across the water. I think about now and a little beyond. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy things like wine and beer and good company. I can appreciate the dynamics of what's going on around me, like the harbor and the life that's under it or on it or above it. And he goes on, and then she says, that's fair, a little grim, but fair. Dover was watching him with eyes that sparkled with reflected lights from the city from other boats. There was a moment he liked. They were far more interesting to him than the stars. What about you, Jack asked. What do you think about? Well, I'm still optimistic enough to look ahead, she said. I think about the big things, the usual, I guess. Eventually having a relationship, a family, she laughed. I guess I'll have to think about a new job, a new career after what just happened. I'm not convinced of that, Jack said. I still think there's something big we can pin on that. Dover said. That's not relaxing. That's work. She drank a little beer, leaned with her back against the rail. She was a dark silhouette against the darker waters. And then she goes on and she talks about the thing that they're involved in. And then they go on to the next statement. And he says, well, what happens next? What do you want to happen next? He asked. That did not come out the way it had sounded in his head. Spoken, it was less a question than an invitation. The time between his asking and her answering seemed uncomfortably long. Dead, she said, finishing the beer. That was no help. How about Eddie? Are you ready for sleep? Dover smiled. I didn't say sleep. Jack grinned boyishly. I wasn't sure I heard correctly. They went below.
Savage.
Michael Savage says this is not your father's Navy. Obama says Americans are wrong about Obamacare. He says it's going to be a good deal. Would you buy a used medical plan from this man? About as much as you'd buy a used car from Obama. Would you buy a used, let's say, 300,000-mile Chevrolet from Obama? That's like buying Obamacare from Obama. Now, before the break, look, my show is news, views, and reviews. You know that. I gave you the news already. you know, doctor, doctor, give me the news. It's not too good. I mean, you know, how much can I give you the bad news? It's like an oncologist keep telling you the cancer is spreading. Every day you tune in, the next day you hear it's spread. There's a metastasis. It went a little further into the arm, the hand, the leg. What can I tell you? So before the break, I was reading from a fictional book called A Time for War, which contains my hero, Jack Hatfield, and a new character, Dover. She's a young lady who works for Naval Intelligence, of all places. How do you like that? How did I figure out of the Office of Naval Intelligence? Who knows? It's one of those things. A microwave told me to put her in there. It was sent to me on a beam from a spaceship. Anyway, put Dover in. So I had Dover and him on the boat, and they were kissing like teenagers in the backseat of the family car. I'm not going to read any risque stuff here. Applying the new age technique of friends first, Jack asked Dover if she'd like a back rub, both knowing where this would go. This is on page 219. I'm going to skip passages that you're going to have to read. He told her, blank. Dover told him how good his hands felt. Not read the rest of that paragraph. His shirt off, he faced one of the most erotically charged sights known to man. I'll skip the next sentence. The next sentence is, being Irish, her cheeks turned a deep pink. Being Jack, he removed his pants. That's a funny line, actually. There's a humor in that. The rest I'm not going to read. And I'll conclude the love scene with this. The sun was just illuminating the skyline from behind the city when they fell asleep. The lovers were cuddled beyond exhaustion, but they were closer and much, much richer for the moment they had seized without any thought of the future. That's a nice little scene. You don't have to be lewd to describe a sexual encounter between a man and a woman, especially since he's divorced and she's single, right? Right? I mean, he's only 6 years older than her. He's not like an old man. Anyway, it's a thriller. It's a thriller about a billionaire American electronics entrepreneur who has sold out his own country. Now, wonder where would I get an idea like that a billionaire entrepreneur would ever do that to America? Would it be someone who sells bulletproof vests to men on the field in Iraq that are not bulletproof? Or bulletproof Humvees that explode when IEDs go off underneath them? You know, there was a movie done about this based on a play in the 1950s called The Father? It was Arthur Miller's play, All My Sons, sorry. I can remember things. It takes me a minute. Look, I do everything on the fly. There's no show prep when I go off on a tangent, so you'll have to forgive me. 1950-52, it was a movie based upon, it was a play based on the Arthur Miller play. It was a movie based on it called All My Sons. It was with Burt Lancaster in one of his early roles as the good son. And the interaction between the son and the corrupt father, played by Edward G. Robinson, is overwhelmingly well written. The father was a manufacturer of engines for fighter planes in World War II, and he cut corners on the cylinders, on making the cylinders, and the plane blew up, in which his other son was a pilot. He had two sons. They were both patriots. One went in the military. And the way it was written was the guy, the corrupt contractor, cut corners in making the engines. The cylinders were thin. The piston blew up the engine. The plane crashed and he lost a son. So the other son screams at his father, "What kind of man are you? How could you do this?" He was the conscience. You gotta remember that. It was an amazing play by Arthur Miller. And how true that is today with some billionaire entrepreneurs who don't even know they have a country. They flood America. They want to flood America with 50 million illegal aliens who will destroy the meaning of the ballot box. Guys like Zuckerberg, I'm naming him because I think he's a corrupt little twerp. I don't care that he wears a T-shirt and he looks cute. This man is the personification of evil to me. The man makes billions of dollars on a fraudulent stock offering, in my estimation. Remember the IPO, how much he made on, and the stock fell the next day? That's considered the American success story today. But because he's cute and he's invited to the White House because he's going to pimp for Obama to bring in 30 million illegal aliens so Silicon Valley entrepreneurs can make more billions on cheaper labor, he's suddenly an American hero. It's like watching a government functioning inside a slop house. It's like watching an entrepreneurial class, to a large extent, functioning on a garbage dump. At least that's how I, the fiction writer Michael Savage, see it at this moment. And that's the story. That's the story of the day. Even the far left has turned on Obama. Even the far left is screaming about Obama. Even the far left is screaming about Feinstein and the deals with the post office. They finally have seen through their corruption. So when I get in one of my really bad moods, which is about as often as you can imagine lately, there's not been too many good moods during the day. I'm hunkered down. I rarely go out of the house. I don't even leave the house. I can't. I don't even enjoy going to restaurants. It's all like takeout in a dark room. I write the fiction. I write the nonfiction. And I wrote A Time for War about a year ago, and it's out in paperback. And it's an important book in a way because of the Office of Naval Intelligence. It opens with the scene about the Navy SEALs being set up and killed in a Chinook helicopter, and they plummet to Earth and die in Afghanistan. It hurt me so badly that no one talked about it, so I led my book with that. And so far as I know, not one Navy SEAL has bought the book. See, this is the thing that riles me. Let me let it all hang out for you right now. I kill myself for this country. I kill myself for the Navy SEALs, the military, the Marines. And I'm sure many of them appreciate the show. I have never gotten a letter of thanks from a Navy SEAL organization. I've never gotten an invitation to a Navy SEAL event. I've never been invited to a U.S. Marine Corps event, not even a funeral. I have done everything I can for them. I raised money for those falsely accused in Iraq. Remember when Bush gave you court-martials, your buddies, your brothers in arms? Who was the only one who went to bat for them? Me. The others were selling floor mats and toupees and copies of the U.S. Constitution while I was raising money for your brothers in arms. They were invited, but I wasn't. So you say, well, what's the vitriol for? Well, I don't know. It's in me. I can't take it anymore. Frankly, I've had enough of living for others. I can't take it, Teddy. My dog's looking at me like I'm about to explode. He sees the feet and the motion already. I look like a spastic walking around here with the microphone in the studio. Because I've reached a limit of what I'm going to do. I can't take it. I feel like a man alone. I got to tell you something. I feel like I'm alone. I know I have a large audience, and I predict that it's going to be even larger before you know it. But that's really in God's hands. It's not even in my hands. I got to tell you that. It's in hands well beyond me if my prediction comes true. But beyond that, it's actually in God's hands, not in my hands. That whole radio thing and the book thing. And I got to tell you something else. I never stop writing. I am writing almost like an automaton. My mind never turns off. Never. I don't even know how I got this far in life, how I'm not dead yet from like a stroke or a heart attack. Because the rate at which I burn is actually almost inhuman. I look like I'm not thinking, but I can't take the company of anyone anymore. I can't be around people. The only company I can take without freaking out is the dog. Ask anyone around me, and I don't mean to be this way. My mind is so churning ideas, so agitated over what this country is becoming under this fraud and this trickster in the White House, the war we almost got into, that I can't talk to people anymore. I have such disappointment in them because I sort of reflect my anger on them. Okay, well, anyway, I got that out of my system, at least for the moment, till the show is over, and then it'll come flailing back at me. The point I'm making is quite simple. We're living in the most difficult times imaginable because it's a netherworld. The world is still good in so many ways. The sky is blue. The clouds are white. The sun rises every morning. You understand that? And there's a relatively low crime rate in the country. But if you're really focused on what's going on under this fraudster and trickster, you can see the handwriting on the wall. I am like Lynkeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts. I've always been in that role. I don't care what my detractors may say. It's because they're looking at my derriere as I climb the highest mast. I'm on the highest mast in the media. And I can see farther ahead than anybody in the media. And I don't like what I see. And if I scream iceberg ahead and you say he's crazy, we'll see who's crazy because we've already hit the iceberg. So instead of slowing the ship down and repairing the damage to the hull, they bring out that minuscule lunatic, Bernanke, today, the man who destroyed the country. And he says, instead of stopping the bleeding, instead of stopping the bleeding of money, instead of stopping the inflation that is being hidden, I'm going to print more money in the form of a quantitative easing, which is just jargon for printing money, as in the Weimar Republic. But at some point, my friends, if you study the history of economic collapse, at some point, the piper must be paid. And it doesn't matter whether they get us into a third world war, which is what they almost did to boost up the economy. Make no mistake about it, that was part of Obama's calculation. A good hot war in the Middle East? Wow. What a threefer that would have been. Israel would have been paid back. The economy would have been booming. The contractors would be happy and pour more money into the hands of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and her cohorts who invent things. It couldn't have been better. But for some reason, maybe it was Nancy Pelosi's granddaughter herself who stopped the war. I don't know. They say Putin stopped the war. But it could have been Nancy Pelosi's granddaughter who could have spoken to Nini. The granddaughter could have said, Nini, no war. We don't know what actually stopped the war. It could be Nancy Pelosi's granddaughter who should get the Nobel Peace Prize, not Putin. Anyway, I'm just musing here on the Savage Nation. And don't take anything I say seriously. I'm not an important man. I'm not a serious journalist. After all, I didn't go to the Columbia School of Journalism. I didn't go to the University of California School of Journalism or one of the journalism schools in between. There are a few here and there. I've met them somewhere in the Middle West. I didn't go to any of those schools. Dianne Feinstein would prohibit me from even speaking. The same Dianne Feinstein, whose husband is involved with the post office sales, just last week said that journalists should be certified by the government. Do you understand what she's trying to do? And do you understand why she said that? Because the left turned on her and they were exposing her in even the most minuscule way. She got crazy. She said, they're not journalists. The only journalists are those approved by journalism schools, which will come through a company we just set up called the Richard Blum School of Journalism Approval Society. The Richard Journalism Approval Organization will now approve all journalists in America. And it's going to cost $100,000, is like a taxi license, a medallion, to be a journalist in the new America under the Feinstein rule. Well, anyway, you get the picture if you're following me. If you're not following me, you don't have the, what can I say? You haven't been hit by the beam, Scotty. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your mic. That means your mic. Michael Savage is now live on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282. And some of the stories I touched on are on my website now, like Going Postal from Snopes.com. The husband of Senator Dianne Feinstein chairs a company that brokers the sales of USPS facilities. It's a very big story on the left-wing websites. That's the amazing thing. On the right, you'll see an article, Parents Outraged by Field Trip to Mosque. They were given copies of the Quran. This is in Tennessee. They couldn't go to a church, nor a synagogue, nor a Buddhist temple. Instead, an infiltrator had taken them to a mosque, the children. All the while, the parents were watching The Real Housewives of Los Angeles. Ooh, look at the house she has, Maud. Ooh, look at her car, Maud. The daughters were taken on a field trip to a mosque and given a copy of a Quran while the church was hollowed out. This is the country you're living in. That's why I talk to my dog and write novels. Truthfully, that's why I talk to the dog and write novels. There's nothing left but fiction. Nothing left but fiction. A Time for War. I don't know, maybe one day it'll be seen as good as Richard Condon. Richard Condon was a great suspense writer. Mine are good, but they're a little more, not esoteric, but I tend not to stick to the storyline as completely as suspense fiction writers, because I like to inject more humanity in the character of Jack. And people have criticized it and said, don't make him more human. Forget the sex scene. Forget the eating. Forget the wine. Forget the beer. Forget the dog. Forget the boating. And yet I can't do it. You know, it's sort of like an odd thing. I can't leave that out of the characterization. So I have to live with the way I see it. But I got to go back and forth on fiction. I've always been a lover of great fiction. We'll do a whole show on it one day, not now. Let's go to the calls instead. Rick on KSFO in San Francisco. It really is a psycho city. Last week, the homeless man on the pole, naked, closed down the whole downtown. And the city sent out a bomb squad with about 30 men with automatic weapons who closed the street down. Instead of pulling him down and leaving a lane open, they stood there looking at him and talking to him. Now, I don't blame the cops. The tax squad, after all, didn't want to just talk to a bum who was naked on a sign. But the lawyers in the city are so psycho, they told them they had to be gentle and kind to a bum tied up traffic for 3 hours, 4 hours. That's how Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and the mayor of the city get away with the shenanigans. The people are idiots. All they care about are the most irrelevant things on the planet. The Arctic sea ice has increased by 67% since last summer, and they're still marching for global warming. If you understand what we're talking about, the left is filled with dunces, absolute dunces. And they were set up as the useful idiots that the Leninists have known about ever since time began, even before Lenin was a glint in his grandfather's eye. Rick on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Doctor, you've made my bucket list complete. This was my last item, was to talk to you and call you Dr. Savage on air.
Well, let me just say that thing about the doctor thing. A lot of people say, why do you let people refer to you as doctor? Because I worked so hard to get my education, and I worked so hard to achieve my PhD, which I really earned, as opposed to the expert that John Kerry and McCain referred to before they wanted to bomb Syria, that yes, calling me Dr. Savage is definitely appropriate if you wish, Rick. So what's on your mind?
Well, your thing about the allegations that Diane Price is still dogged by allegations of conflict of interest, blah, 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 on the post office thing. There's another one that she's got bagged on, and it's this high-speed rail construction contract that the old man got. Well, it's one of his companies, anyway.
You're telling me Richard Blum's company is building the train to nowhere?
Yeah, check this out, Michael. It's $985 million, and it's a project management contract to study the feasibility of the land acquisition going down through where...
$1 billion to study whether the train to nowhere is feasible?
Well,
if I'm not mistaken, isn't Richard Blum's construction company involved in the subway to nowhere under North Beach, the so-called Chinatown extension? Isn't he involved in that as well?
I believe so, and we got another lead that he could be involved in the Hunters Point Naval Shipyard.
Is there not enough money in the world for the nowhere man? Is there no limit to what his trumpet will suck out of the earth? Remember the Beatles movie Nowhere Man, where the guy sat on the top of a mountain with a long snout, sucking up everything down below him in the valley, until eventually the trumpet sucked him into his own trumpet? Remember that, the Nowhere Man? I mean, you know, I remember the 60s very well. These people are the epitome of greed, in my estimation.
Absolutely.
And I'm being kind and polite because it's a family show. But if we had a two-party system, if we had a press, if we had a legitimate oversight, if California was not a Marxist one-party state of boondogglers, this would not be going on. And that's what we're facing. Now you understand why they want to bring 30 to 60 million illegal aliens into the country. They don't speak the language. They wouldn't even understand what we are talking about.
Unbelievable. Now, let me give you another analogy, but it comes from Republican-Democrat coercion and collusion back when Dick Cheney and Mrs. Pelosi met at Hunters Point, and there was a 75-year lease. You know all those houses are built out there now?
I happen to know that Miss Pelosi's son, I believe, is involved in the Hunters Point project. Is that correct?
He works for Lennar Homes, the people that built it.
Well, it's a betterment for society to eliminate an old, stinking, rotten Navy base and convert it to useful housing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't he doing a public service? And Richard Blum's doing a public service as well, building a subway on the North Beach that goes nowhere. Just think about all the rats they're going to kill as they build this tunnel. It's the same with the high-speed rail. Think of all of the useless lettuce fields that will be decimated. We don't need lettuce. It's all toxic anyway. Just about nice, clean stainless steel tracks with nothing on it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to hour number three of The Savage Nation for this Wednesday, September 18th, 2013. We've been talking about, well, the Navy was warned that the crazy shooter heard voices. They did nothing. Well, because it's affirmative action, number one. And number two, they don't want to be judgmental. Incidentally, most of the people who were shot, I'm sorry to tell you, were either white with one Asian. Isn't that odd? Would that be considered a hate crime if it were reverse? Well, anyway, this is not your father's Navy. Who disarmed the military? Bill Clinton. Did you know that? Well, what else is in the news? Well, here's some of the sound that we've been covering today. Assad admits he's had chemical weapons, but he said he never used them.
When we joined the treaty last week, it means that we have, and we said that. So it's not a secret anymore.
Bill Clinton on Putin leading in Syria, he says, who cares how it happened that there's no war? It just matters that there's no war. Isn't that nice?
Who cares how it came up? John Kerry got asked, well, what can we do to stop you from bombing? And he said, make the problem go away. So Putin says, okay, I'll do that. And so they say, well, this puts Russia in a position of leverage, and it guarantees that Assad is going to be in power for a while longer. That's a separate issue.
You've heard of leading from behind? How about a behind leading? Former Representative Jane Harman says, I think John Kerry should be nominated for sainthood.
I think John Kerry should be nominated for sainthood, and I think he's following Rahm Emanuel's playbook, no crisis should go to waste. And with this going on, with some overtures now by Rouhani in Iran, with at least some reason for optimism in the peace process.
Well, she has that about 180 degrees off. Let's see what else was in the news. Father of a Marine at the Navy Yard, he said his boy had guns but no ammo. Did you hear? The Marine barracks were ready to help. They had weapons, but no ammunition. No ammunition for the Marines' guns. Rear Admiral John Kirby, U.S. Navy Chief of Information, meaning this disinformation, says we're looking at shooters' time in the Navy. Rear Admiral? Well, how about an admiral from the rear? Dem Congressman named Stephen Cohen from Tennessee says, well, Republicans, their guns are right there next to their Bibles. Hey, Mr. Cohen, in Israel, their Uzis are right there next to their Torahs. Obama went to his favorite Telemundo not to speak to an English-speaking audience. He spoke to a non-English-speaking audience, not about his failures, not about war, not about peace, but about the Affordable Care Act, which everyone rejects except him and the grifters who are about to make trillions. Yep, there's an awful lot of news today on the Savage Nation. We'll have all of the breaking news as it breaks here this hour. And some of the other stories that you must not miss is that although they've agreed to pump money into the economy without stop, even though they're not going to do it anymore in Holland, even though they're not doing it in any Western nation, the louse who runs the Fed, Bernanke, who should be given not a Nobel Prize but an anti-Nobel Prize, said he's going to pump and pump and pump and pump. That means dilute the dollar. And what was the reaction on Wall Street? Why? Stocks have rocked. They've hit an all-time high. Why? Because the greedy slime on Wall Street live on this artificial cash. You get how it works? Meanwhile, Zuckerberg of Facebook fame goes to Washington to lobby for what? Illegal aliens in the workforce. You hear this? Grand Theft Auto 5 earned a record $800 million on its first day. Really? What a useful tool that is for the next generation of shooters. The Navy shooter said he was not happy with America. He was on undisclosed medications. The media has buried the drug connection. The voices in his head were not talked about in the Navy, since most of them are crazy in the head. And by the way, here's the last note. The Navy shooter carved the words "better off this way" into the shotgun, and he was not dismissed from the Navy. 855-400-7282. I know that you do want to talk about other topics, including the racism of the shooter at the U.S. Naval facility, the fact that he was committing basically a hate crime. Now, the reason I say that is because if you look at the victims, it's strange that almost all of them were either white with one Asian, but truthfully, my friends, none of them looked like the shooter himself, while many people working in that facility looked like the shooter himself. Would you say he committed a hate crime? Well, of course you would, but you can't, because you have no one to turn to. Who are you going to turn to with that information? John Boehner, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer? Who? Eric Cantor is going to listen to you? No one will listen to you. The shooter himself, by the way, could have been stopped because a SWAT team was told to stand down at the mass shooting scene. That's a huge scandal. I put it up from the BBC News on michaelsavage.com. One of the first teams of heavily armed police to respond to Monday's shooting in Washington was ordered to stand down by superiors, the BBC revealed today. A tactical response team of the Capitol Police was told to leave the scene by a supervisor instead of aiding municipal officers. The Capitol Police Department has launched a review into the matter. Now, it looks to me like there may be a conspiracy here. It looks to me like this may have been planned. It looks to me like the shooter was in cahoots with someone inside the Capitol Police who gave the command to the heavily armed response team to stand down. It also looks to me like there's more to the story than meets the eye, and I'll tell you why. If you go to the article that I found earlier, this gets into the conspiracy side, which makes it easy to dismiss, but it's very weird. Even the far left has turned on Obama, Dianne Feinstein. They see right through them. They know that Obama has not only no resume, they know he's a Machiavellian fraud. First of all, he never delivered to them on their promises. That's to start with. They don't care about his wreckage on America. They've seen through him. They know he's a liar. Feinstein has long been seen for what she is, the dragon lady from the shopping carts, the China deals. But now even the left is going bonkers over what she's done with her husband, Richard Blum, with contracts to sell the post offices. You say, well, all right, he doesn't own it, he doesn't do this. All right, we understand he doesn't own the company. But this was a no-bid contract given to a company in which he's deeply involved. Let's put it that way. Then the Navy shooter complained of white racism. Was it random? Did he just miss people of color? Or, in fact, did he only aim at white people? Was there a racial element? Was there a connection to the fact that the SWAT team was told to stand down and more people died as a result? Was there someone on the inside of the Capitol Police as well? We don't know. We know with the incompetent morons running the show, you'll never get to the bottom of it. Obama's already swept it under the rug. Why? Because the shooter doesn't look like Timothy McVeigh. That's why you're not going to hear any more about this. Well, we're coming back from the lanes, and we got this under control. Don't worry about us, you know. That's all you got to know is, all right, move along. Move it along here. It's over now. All right, get back to what you're doing, you dumb idiot, you. Put your shorts on and go barbecue. Take yourself out to a ball game. Take your kid to a Kool-Aid festival. All right, keep it on. Move it along here. We got bigger things to do. We got bigger fish to fry. That's the country you're living in. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah, there are some who say, well, you know, this gives the initiative to put... And who cares how it came up?
See, now listen, this is Bill Clinton saying about Putin leading in Syria, who cares how it came up. You've heard about leading from behind. How about leading with your behind? Doesn't this show you that we have a Democrat mentality without any character? They don't care. They're outcome-based politicians. There's no dignity. No dignity. It doesn't matter how it came up, in other words, to him. So now Putin is the putative Secretary of State of the United States of America. Bill Clinton says it doesn't matter how it happened. All of a sudden, they're in front of the No War campaign, even though Nancy Pelosi was foaming at the mouth to drop bombs. Engel dropped bombs. Every psychopathic anti-gun liberal in America wanted to drop bombs. Shame on them! Onto the fifth generation. Shame on those lying SOBs. Those bums. Those louts. Those psychos. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Every stupid liberal who hates guns and bullets and police and soldiers was suddenly dancing around like lunatics. Drop bombs on Syria. Kill them all. Because the boss wants it. Now all of a sudden Bill Clinton comes out, the elder statesman of the Untruth Society, and comes out and says, who cares? Who cares how Putin did it? Who cares? How can you live in a country that stinks like this? It's like working in a sanitation pile. I feel like the nation is a nation of, like a sanitation pile in a dump with people in nice suits and ties. And believe me, I'm not alone in this. The Congress, the media is so detested in this country, but they don't know what to do. And the reason you feel frustrated, the reason may you don't even stop. Here's the reason you stopped listening to talk radio, many of you. Maybe you're scanning. I know why you stopped listening. Because you listen to the dunces on the left, you don't want to hear it anymore. You know what it led to. It led to Feinstein, the post offices. It led to Obama, the anti-war candidate, wanting to drop bombs without thinking. And you said, who the hell, I don't want to do it anymore. That's if you're a liberal. I'm tuning out, okay? Those on the right have listened to the fraudulent Republicans now. They know there's no Republican Party. They were misled by Wallbanger and his minions, who went to the White House with Bush the genius, and now suddenly he's boasting about going to the White House with Bush. That's Wallbanger's claim to fame. I was invited to the White House, a little boy from Franklin Square, or wherever he came from, Rockville Center. Well, my friend, it takes an education to understand what you just said about yourself. Wallbanger doesn't even understand he put himself down. He doesn't even get it. The man's been a water carrier for the Republican Party for the day he began a radio as a fill-in. He steps on his words. Every other word is He ought to advertise Tums. They could just bleed in a T on top of it. Tum. He'd have a big sponsor. Every other word is and gulp. And gulp. If he started the radio today, he couldn't work on a local station. That's Wallbanger. Then you got the Wallbanger minions because he promotes their books and products. They call him a great one. Oh, you're a great one. No, you're a great one. No, you're a great one. Hey, great one. Are you a great one? No, I'm a great one. You're a great one. It's like an Art Carney show. Wearing a beaver cap somewhere in a bad club. Hello, great one. Why don't you start the Great One Club? Give out beaver caps with long tails. Raccoon skin caps with long tails. Hello, great one. I mean, it's insane. So people stop listening to radio. Then I come along late in the day, stuck in Siberia here in the Siberia time slot. Hopefully not for long. And all of a sudden, you think, what the heck? Who's this guy? He doesn't sound like he's one of them. Doesn't sound like he's one of us. Who is he? Yeah, I'm not the Lone Ranger. I'm just a talk show host. And if you think I'm alone, you're mistaken. There are tens of millions of Americans who see things as I do, who say things that I do, and they don't know what the hell to do to get their country back. You say, well, how did this happen? Well, okay, why go into the whole story? The number one problem is when we lost the media, we lost the country. The job of the media is not to be the lapdog of the administration or of the political class. The job of the media is to be the watchdog for the people. And once the watchdogs were, let us say, taken off the job, and they have been, either they died off or they were sold out, and they left the print media, they left the broadcast media by and large, the politicians fell into the state that they're in today, which is a sense of drunken power, absolute power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You understand that. We are witnessing absolute power at work where there's no checks and balances. So in my day, there was corruption. There's always been corruption. Going back to George Washington, I know many of you think he was a saint. He wasn't. He was a fine man, and he was also a politician, Machiavellian, into his landed class, kept slaves, etc. He wasn't a perfect man, and there was corruption, but they were kept in line by the colonial press to a certain extent. And the press existed in this country almost until, I don't know the year, I can't pick the year out of the air, it doesn't matter to me when. By and large, when the few men who run the journalism schools, and I can name them, there's two of them, two or three of them run the journalism factories, who weeded out anyone with an independent mind, just as they did in the universities, weeded out certainly anyone who didn't buy the party line. In other words, anyone who was not useful to the Communist Party USA, no matter what name it's called, CPUSA, call it progressives, call it liberals, doesn't matter. Whoever was not a member of the Politburo party line, didn't support the Politburo party line, never got into a journalism school. And that was the end of America as we know it. So now we have a fragmentary underground press called the Internet. We have a Samizdat on the radio. Those of you from the Soviet Union know what I'm talking about. This broadcast is very much like the underground radio broadcasts of the Soviet Union during the Solzhenitsyn years, when people were desperate to get the message out of what their corrupt government was doing. And that's where we are today. Where we will be tomorrow is anybody's guess. So now we have the most corrupt president, the most divisive president, the most incompetent president in American history, getting away with virtual murder. A man who came into power saying he was an anti-war president. It was pure doublespeak. Well, I was elected to, I can't imitate him, I won't even try. I was elected as an anti-war president, but I want a bomb in order to end the war that didn't start yet. And they listened to him. I was elected as an anti-war president, but I'm going to bomb Syria in order to make sure we don't have to bomb Syria? And no one said anything to this man? Then he was going to have a Latino festival Monday night, which he had to cancel because a Navy shooting occurred. Navy. Some Navy. There was no Navy there. It was a contractor's hive, a hive of contractors. God rest their souls. Stop with the Navy. They were disarmed by Bill Clinton. Everyone in the military was disarmed on bases by the very same Bill Clinton. So this is what's going on in your country today. We can't even defend ourselves internally. The same president who is breaking U.S. federal law, the Arms Export Control Act, to send machine guns and other weapons to murderers and Islamists in Syria, wants to take your bullets and guns away. And by the way, I may have broken the code on why Big Sis was suddenly moved out of her position in Homeland Security to wreck the University of California at Homeland. Remember she bought a billion bullets? Remember that big scandal? She kept buying hundreds of millions of bullets. Remember that? Nobody knew where the bullets were going. Then IRS bought the bullets. Then every department under Obama was buying up every bullet in America, drying up the supply of lead and of brass and of gunpowder. And we didn't know why. We said, well, they're trying to dry up. I said, wait a minute. Maybe those bullets are going to Syria, to the Islamists. Maybe they were plotting this all along, and they needed bullets. I don't know where the bullets went. I don't know. It's just crazy. I shouldn't even be asking the question. This is a job for Ted Cruz. This is a job for God knows who in the Republican Party, Rand Paul. The few voices that are left, the few voices, the few and far between, they should be screaming day and night, but how much can they do? I understand that. I don't care. You know, I really don't care what they can do, what they can't do. We have to keep talking about it. So now we're talking about corruption on a grand scale. We're talking about corruption where a U.S. Postal Services is giving up 41 buildings across the country in addition to 11 land parcels, and the only company allowed to sell it is a company indirectly tied to Richard Blum, the husband of Dianne Feinstein. Say indirectly tied, okay? Would that be safe to say? Is that legal to say? Let his lawyer figure it out. Indirectly tied to the husband? So the far left is now going berserk, even on Pacifica Radio here in the Bay Area, which is so anti-American it's frightening, but even they've had enough. Then the article comes out on Snopes.com, another left-wing site.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage File. I'm sitting here filing my nails, waiting for Megyn Kelly to file her nails on Fox next week as Hannity goes home to discover his family earlier, because he said, look, he can't wait to spend time with his family. I mean, he didn't know about his family last month, but apparently he found him now. That's really great. Let's take some calls. WABC in New York, ORY, Ori, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, you took the words right out of my mouth. I am one of those young people who have switched from Hannity to Michael Savage, and I listen digitally, as you say, so you're right on with that. I just want to say about Wallbanger, I think that his demotion, with his boring, irrelevant babbling about the Constitution and Reagan, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God, how can they do it? How many times can you mention Constitution, Ronald Reagan, I can't take it. It sounds to me like a bad history teacher in high school that I threw ink at.
It is, and he's also unable to ever win an argument with anybody. But I think that this entity that is Sean Hannity is really the Republican Party, and that you see both of them are dim bulbs. He's dying just like the GOP is dying. They're both dim bulbs, and it's people like Michael Savage and people like Alan West and Ted Cruz, real men who tell the truth and fight for real values, who will save the right wing and ultimately.
Well, I hope so. I love Alan West. I wish he'd run for the presidency. I frankly think he'd make I know he'd be a great president, but I know that the Republican establishment is so against Alan West that it's almost impossible odds. It's almost like Moses having to part the Red Sea, Alan West running for higher office. Look what they did to him in Florida.
Alan West is a real man with real values, and that's why the GOP won't support him, because they're too busy supporting empty people like John Boehner and John McCain and Eric Cantor and these nobodies who are going to fail.
But here's the thing you got to understand. You see, you're right in theory, but I don't think people really understand why the Republicans, so-called, are unwilling to stand up to Obama. What they don't get is that they don't have to stand up to Obama. They're getting everything they wanted. I heard before the election of Obama in the first election that it was a shoo-in that he was going to win. And I was told that's because the Republicans wanted Obama to win. And I said, what? Someone very smart in the political world said to me, the reason they want a Democrat to win is so they can keep attacking him for 8 years while making as much money as they did before he took power, and he takes the blame for it. That's what I was told. That's how the game is being played.
These people are all bought off already by people like Sheldon Adelson. They don't stand for any values anymore.
Well, look at Sheldon Adelson, a big supporter of Gingrich. What does that tell you to start with? Anti-Obama, then all of a sudden he's Mr. Military. He wants bombing. How did Adelson suddenly want bombing in Syria? What did that have to do with him? Why?
He's a big Israel supporter.
That's right. Put two and two together. That's right. And I am an Israel supporter, but not at the cost of America's sovereignty. Okay, is that clear? And you know what? I'm the only one who articulated this. that it was Israel from the get-go pushing us into war with Syria and possibly World War III with Russia and China. I was the one who was saying it. Nobody else said that in radio. Am I right about that or wrong? Did you hear anyone else saying that when I was saying it?
I didn't hear anybody else, Mike.
No, no one else dared say it because I'll tell you what it is. It's like a litmus test in America, especially amongst the so-called conservatives. There is a litmus test, and there's areas you can't go and things you can't say. The things they always say is Constitution, Ronald Reagan, etc. Nice guy, Ronald Reagan, but not God. Made a lot of mistakes unto himself, by the way, and I criticized him when he was president before I was on radio. For example, Ronald Reagan decimated the American farmer. Ronald Reagan decimated the small farmer in America. People don't know that. I was not in politics at the time. I'll never forget reading a story about an American farmer somewhere in the Midwest who shot himself in his barn because a farm he had inherited from his father was being auctioned off, and they were auctioning off his rake, his rakes, his hoes, his tractors, and his farm animals. The man shot himself in the barn, and it was because Ronald Reagan changed the rules on subsidies or something to make it more friendly for a mega agribusiness, and that man killed himself, and I never forgot it. So I remember the whole history of Ronald Reagan. He made a few other mistakes, but no one's perfect. By and large, he was a good president. But he was not the Holy Grail, is the point. And by the way, shall I go into the Founding Fathers for you, who they really were? Would you like to hear that?
Go for it.
Well, I'm not going to do it right now. I think one day I'm going to do a whole show on who the Founding Fathers really were. Again, why are you deifying the Founding Fathers like they were some gods? First of all, women couldn't vote. Minorities couldn't vote. Only landowners could vote. Now, some would argue that would be great today. That's not happening in the world today, so let's forget about that. They weren't particularly great men. Some of them were far-thinking. They weren't these gods beyond anybody in mind. Are you kidding me? They weren't gods beyond anyone's thinking. They were pretty intelligent men. They had a good thing going. They killed the Indians, stole their land, planted the corn, and then when the Indians were in the backyard taking a piece of corn, they killed the rest of them, put them out west. Then when they found there was oil underneath the Indians, they threw them out again. They're very, very nice history of the country. Very nice. First they made their friend, me, give me a wampum, and we're going to come have the turkey, and then took away Massachusetts. The Indians said, all right, let them take Massachusetts. We still have New Hampshire and Rhode Island. The next thing they knew, they were on a one-way train to Charlottesville. 1-855-407-2822. No, the Trail of Tears. I'm a student of American history. That's why I know it. People were here 20,000 years of civilization, different civilization than ours, of course. It's just the way of the world. It's one invading race pushes out another, the existing invading race. Sort of what you're experiencing right now. You are, let's say you're listening to the show, you're the American Indian of 150 to 200 years ago. You're being colonized and you're being pushed out of your own country. You don't recognize it, though. You still got the barbecue, the shorts, the tongues. You got the cable. You got the television at night. You got the Prozac. You got the beer. Whatever you want, but you don't realize you're being pushed off the reservation. You're being put on a one-way train to Charlottesville, but you don't know that yet either. Wait until Obama really gears up and grants amnesty to 60 million illegal aliens. You're going to wake up, and it's not going to be your country anymore. And you're going to say, how the heck did this happen? How the heck did this happen? Could have been stopped. Still could be stopped. Impeach him now. Impeach Obama now. Stop him in his tracks. No more executive orders. No seizing guns. No amnesty for illegal aliens. You could stop that man now with an impeachment hearing. It wouldn't matter whether you could impeach him, but you could stop him for what he's about to do. But who are you going to ask? The Clink? You're going to ask Clink in the cloakroom there? Give me the Clink sound, Neil. Let me hear the Clink. Yeah. Does anyone know where Boehner is? Hey, John. Hey, John, we got you a little something for you to come out on the floor for. What? Yeah, let me put a coat on, a coat and tie. You're going to ask Clink to do it? Right. One man's opinion. That's all. Now we go to the Navy Yard shooter. Very convenient, huh? Obama screws up the Syria thing. The greatest international foreign policy mishmash since Jimmy Carter had the helicopters crash in the desert while trying to rescue the Iran hostages. This is a great scandal, what he almost did in Syria. He almost set the world on fire. What happens soon thereafter is a guy goes berserk and shoots up the contractors in the Navy Yard. But what you don't know came out today. Navy Yard gunman Aaron Alexis carved the words "better off this way" into the gun he used in his shooting rampage. ABC News has learned, but here's the killer. He also carved the phrase "my ELF weapon" onto the stock of the shotgun. Now, many of you don't know what the word elf weapon means. Many of you think he means elf. You think it's a cute phrase. But if you really know what he's saying here, it's frightening. Do you know what an elf weapon means? This is a very far left, far right thing. What is ELF? Well, ELF means extremely low frequency in some clandestine military and clandestine tech circles. Extremely low frequency. There are some speculating that the term itself refers to Alexis's rants about hearing voices and, quote, vibrations sent to his body by a microwave machine, according to law enforcement sources. So now the conspiracists are going berserk, and they're saying he was basically set up, such as Frank on KCMO. Frank, you understand where this is coming from, correct?
I understand completely. It's an old science that's finally seen the data light of day. The first point, honestly, the Florida police and the Navy are to blame for this. They contacted the naval base. They warned them when he was under investigation to get his clearance. They ignored it. The Navy let him slide. Why? Maybe they were afraid of a racial lawsuit?
There you go. There you go. Affirmative action uber alles. Yes. That's number one.
Now he's free to walk around, get the security clearance that you and I probably couldn't get because we read the wrong newspapers.
Oh, no, no, no. I couldn't get a security clearance that Alexis got. No, sir.
Possibly. Now, I'm not even saying that maybe it was our government. Possibly. This science has been around for a while now. Maybe it was some other entity.
But explain to my audience, Frank, what ELF means. If you know more about it than what I said about extremely low-frequency microwaves being sent into people's heads, what does that mean?
I know about radio. And if you remember a couple of years back, the Navy was in trouble because they were using low-frequency for their submarines, and it was disturbing all the fish and everybody's...
That's right. It disturbed the dolphins. So maybe they're using the same technology to disturb all of the marginal characters in America, and maybe they can control them to the point that they can literally drive them mad or set them over the edge or literally send messages into their head to do these things. Who knows?
And also, Dr. Savage, you know that people who already have a propensity to violence, if you plug them in the right way and give them the right programming, put them in the situation, the button will go off.
You mean such as a president investing himself into a crime in Florida, saying that if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin, setting off a low-grade war of a sort in America? You mean that kind of trigger, that kind of subtle message, that kind of a little messaging from the man in the bully pulpit?
That and just an individual who can be easily manipulated to do something ignorant and evil like what happened.
All right, well, here we go. Elf. He carved in the stock of a shotgun, my elf weapon onto the stock of the shotgun, sources said. ELF weapon. If you are a member of the conspiracy class, you got something to play with here. You got something really to play with, a very big deal right here. Because he complained about microwave machines sending vibrations into his body. Now, whether he was crazy on his own to begin with, or let us say marginal, and they found a marginal member of the Navy to, let us say, turn into a sort of Manchurian candidate, is the stuff for fiction. Remember the great book, The Manchurian Candidate? I never forget reading it after seeing the movie with Frank Sinatra. In the book, Manchurian Candidate, it was about a brainwashed character played by Frank Sinatra who is triggered to be an assassin by his mother, no less. And the thing that triggers it is the Queen of Hearts when Mom flips the card. Richard Condon, one of the finest novelists in my time, and as a man who's writing thriller novels right now, such as A Time for War, which is out in paperback and is really a great read, and has a little bit about, well, a lot about naval intelligence in the book, by the way. Dover is in there. She's a character from naval intelligence who was almost fired for aiding a journalist who is not allowed to go to Britain and was thrown out of the media. You know, sort of not autobiographical in any means. I mean, just because it's set aboard a 59-foot Grand Banks and there's a dog in it named Eddie doesn't mean there's any autobiographical elements in A Time for War or Abuse of Power. Not at all. And just because Jack Hatfield eats in restaurants in North Beach and loves calamari does not mean it's based upon, in any way, anyone living or dead. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It was dark, and the area around the door was illuminated by just a single dull bulb in a bug-filled lantern above the threshold. Dover didn't notice the black Mercedes until she heard it pull behind her car in the motel parking lot. She was just putting her key in the door of the one-story building when the vehicle stopped perpendicular to her car, the passenger side at her trunk. Her first thought was that she should go inside, shut the door, and call 911. She turned the key, popped the lock, but stayed outside, waiting to see what this was about. Both doors of the Mercedes opened, and two men emerged. They were stocky, dressed in black suits, their hair cut short, Marine style. Their expressions were unsympathetic, their eyes steady. The driver remained where he was. The other man came over. Dover's heart rate quickly doubled. "Miss Griffith?" the man asked as he approached. He wouldn't have asked if he didn't already know the answer. She said nothing. "I'd like to talk to you about your interest in Hawk Industries," he said. "I'm kind of tired," she said, backing into the room. "Can this wait?" "I'll only need a minute," the man said. "Maybe tomorrow," Dover told him. She stepped inside quickly and shut the door, from which you forgot to remove the key. The young woman heard the key turn. The curtains were drawn and it was dark outside. She switched on an unsteady floor lamp. There was no rear exit and there were no windows in the back. She hurried to where she had left her phone plugged in on the night table. She activated as the man entered. "Please put it down," he told her. "I'm calling the police." "The sheriff's office is about a half hour from here," he informed her. "You might get a deputy who was already on the road and could be here in 10 or 15 minutes. Or he may be off in another direction entirely. I don't care. Miss Griffith, it doesn't have to be this way." The intruder's hand slipped inside his blazer and remained there, behind the lapel. "Please be reasonable. I only need a few minutes." Dover hesitated. The man had left the door open. His associate had moved from the driver's side and was standing just a few paces behind his partner. "What do you want to know?" she asked. Her mouth was dry. The words sounded like rice paper. "Put the phone down and we can talk," he said. She continued to hold it. He remained where he was, his hand inside his jacket. She didn't think he would shoot her, but her odds seemed a little better off if she cooperated. She stood there dumbfounded. We would like you to leave Murrieta tonight and end your investigation into Hawk Industries." Dover had clearly crossed more than the Rockies on her way out. She had gone back in time about 150 years. "You have no right to make those demands," she said. "I haven't done anything wrong." "You misrepresented yourself as an investigator with the ONI," the man said. "No, that is the truth." That's the Office of Naval Intelligence. I'm reading from A Time for War. "Well, you get the picture. This is my novel, A Time for War, which has a lot to do with a character named Dover. Dover. I introduced a Dover Griffith, a young woman staffer at the Office of Naval Intelligence." How do you like that? The Office of Naval Intelligence in A Time for War. From the New York Times best-selling author of Abuse of Power and host of the radio show The Savage Nation comes a powerful new thriller. But because I am not a member of the Rush cartel, you haven't heard about the book. But it's out there. It's called A Time for War. Now let's go back to normal programming and talk about sonic weapons. Sonic weapons, naval intelligence. What an oxymoron that is, the Office of Naval Intelligence. How come they didn't have the intelligence on the shooter the other day? I guess they were busy waiting for you guys with guns to do something wrong? Is that it? Is that what the new government is? The government now fears the civilian population more than they do the Islamists? Well, of course they do. In fact, the Islamists are being armed by the intelligence agencies. They're arming the Islamists. And where did those billion bullets that Big Sis bought go? Where are they? Well, you don't know where it went any more than you know why they're pumping money into the economy on a day like today. Why would that clown, what's his name, Bernanke, the man who saved the world, why would Bernanke, that useful stooge clown, be allowed to continue to print money? Do you know that Holland, today in Holland, is very interesting, the king of Holland came out and said, "The welfare state is over. We can no longer support you. You're going to have to participate in our society because of the leeches." The number of leeches in Holland had reached such a point that the king had to step in and take over the control of the country from the stooges in the liberal parliament. And he said, "We are no longer a welfare state. And we're not printing money. We're not giving you benefits the way they were. You're going to have to make it on your own a little bit." And yet in America, on the very same day that Holland finally saw the light, and realized that there was an unsustainable economy, the stooge called Ben Bernanke, one of the most evil men in the history of America, and he's very evil. You got to understand, I don't care whether he's a nice guy to his wife and dog. Evil is as evil does. When you have a bankrupt economy and you fool the people by saying we're going to do quantitative easing, which is nothing but printing money, that's evil to me. So the stooge is going to print money. He doesn't print the money, but the stooge says his fiscal policy is to keep printing money, meaning buying bonds. So what's the reaction on Wall Street? They go haywire. Why? Because the greed on Wall Street, as you know, knows no bounds. Human nature is by nature greedy. Larceny is in the heart of the average man. And the way a civil society works is larceny and greed is controlled by a reasonable government. But instead of controlling the larceny and the greed on Wall Street, Obama feeds it. Why? Because they put him in power. That is, they are the government. Obama's not the president. He is the symbol or the front man. He's the figurehead. Let's put it that way. That's a more polite way to put it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.